Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for being with us as we gather here on Sabbath day for a changing of the showbread. Thank you for giving us that understanding we need to go forth and to glorify you. And if we are so worthy, with the latter rain. Please forgive us, cleanse us, and bless us so we are worthy. Thank you for giving us a deep desire in our hearts to strive on to perfection and to make you smile. And thank you for making us smile during the trials, too. Because we know we need them. We know it's going to get very, very rough out there. So we need the heavy trials to be able to get through that. Thank you for loving us that much and loving us first and teaching us how to love. Please bridle my tongue and please guide it in regards to this sermon. And please bless us all in that way. Bridle our tongues in regards to every soul that comes our way. We need more courage, faith, wisdom, discernment, understanding, and love. And thank you for hearing this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Okay. So for those of you that missed part one of the sermon, please check the link in box 7, and I think I put it in there. I don't know. I'm just wondering if I even put it in there. Box 7 has all the links. That's usually where I put them. Alien Shocker spends millions on... Nope. I didn't put it in there, but you know where it's at. It's on. For those listening on the radio or people that don't know, the easiest way to get to all the past sermons is if you just go to remedygod.org, and on the top left side of the website, there's that golden gift box. Click it. It'll bring you right to the sermon page. And then on the top of the sermon page, on the top right, you'll see most current service. Click it. Brings you right to the bottom. There's last week's service. Well, part one was actually on May 19th, 2018. So you'll have to go back 4 weeks, which is easy. It's all on the same screen. So, but I do have something I would like to share before starting. A few days before sharing part one of the sermon, an article came out on Fox News that I was unable to work into the sermon in time for part one, because, you know, I like to double-check stuff. Well, that article locks down everything I shared in part one, as well as part two, in that we now have ample evidence that the second beast of Revelation, which we all know is the U.S. government, well, this beast is working hand-in-hand with the second beast in prophecy, that is, of course, the Vatican. And we'll have overwhelming proof that the Vatican has been behind this UFO thing for centuries, even before anybody could think of the technology to do something like this. But that article was titled, and that is in box number 7 of the sermon notes. It's the first link. That title is, or that article is titled, Alien Shocker. Congress wants to spend millions searching for E.T. But for now, let's move on in the series to see how this Roman agenda can be seen clearly in all this if we only look at the signs given us in prophecy as well as historic record. And being, by the way, obedient students of prophecy, we all know of many prophesied events that are in the making as we speak. One such event is the coming New World Order, which, by the way, is already here on paper. I was actually talking to somebody last night about that on YouTube. They're just waiting for the other shoe to drop to make it publicly, make the public announcement that there is a one-world government. But there has been a one-world government for decades since the Club of Moral was started. And that's at the end of my Antichrist video animation, by the way, as well as the Flash animation. But one such event, as we know, is the New World Order. And this U.S. UFO agenda can also be used to escalate the arrival of a one-world government, which, by the way, is a necessity if they're ever to hope to force the mark of the beast anyway. And that's why Ronald Reagan said what he said about, you know, if there was an outside alien force, would we not all come together and fight against it? Well, he's just more or less planting the seeds for Armageddon to get the whole world to fight against us, because we'll be considered alien because we refuse to keep Sunday holy. But that, again, that's a whole other sermon. But is it any wonder the first controlled government test, because back then no one knew the government was behind it. Now we do. But the first controlled government test on the innocent people in the United States of America was in 1938 on the radio. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. Those that don't, does the name Orson Welles ring a bell? And his War of the Worlds radio broadcast? As small and localized as it was, the test was a raving success. I mean, we've all heard about the horror stories of what happened when the people panicked, not knowing it was all a skit being played on a radio show. They actually believed Martians invaded the planet simply because it was reported on the radio by what sounded like a trusted authority figure. And then they were acting like they were getting other reports in. This test was no doubt performed by Satan to see how the masses that he had already convinced to stop reading Bibles would react. He needs to know what his next step is. That's why you see what you see now. Like, for example, the video I put up yesterday in regards to the new cartoons that they're going to be putting on the TV for the children on June 28th about drag tots. You know, drag queen, toddler drag queens. But before they could do that, they had to, you know, test the waters. And so, January 10th, I put a video up about those, you know, those 12-year-old drag queen. And they were promoting them. And because none of the pastors said anything about this, 6 months later, you got some cartoon about drag queens. Well, if the parents aren't going to yell about it, we should be able to go with this, no problem. And that's what they did. Well, that's what they did in 38. They were just testing the water to see where people's minds were at. I mean, basic Christian truth is, those that study the Word of God know that the Lord would not allow people from other worlds to visit us, and those same people wouldn't want to come to a planet controlled by the archenemy of the very God that created them and the worlds they now reside on. And yes, they're out there. Just as the Apostle Paul proclaimed more than once in the book of Hebrews. It's in Hebrews 1 verse 2 and 11 verse 3, where he talks about how the Lord made the worlds, and then the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Worlds is obvious. Some people think they're all just a bunch of stars and dead planets. But these same Bible students would also claim, would also have known it is, you know, it's demons, not flying saucers, because they also read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so those of you that used to mess with the occult like myself, you know about the little birds. Yeah, there's a video on YouTube of a young girl that gets possessed by a demon right on camera because they're messing with a Ouija board. Notice what she says about that little bird. And she had no clue about the little bird or birds. Satan works with great ease in these children of disobedience because unless you read your Bibles, you'll be easily conned to thinking little green men are in those flying saucers. I mean, how many of us know people that believe 100% now that every report by the authoritative news reporters is legit about UFOs? I mean, just because it's on the news, they believe all sorts of idiocies, from aliens from outer space to the Pope being a holy man of God. This test by Orson Welles proved to them most people have become sheeple. And so with that success came the absolute need to not only rewrite Bibles, but to attack the Bibles they write so as to get as many people as possible to stop reading them. And this is why literally millions of people believe in UFOs now. And since the test was such a success, as also prophesied, fear has become a major cog in the wheel of deception today so as to have better control over mankind. I mean, in fact, when was the last time you heard good news on these news broadcasts? Years, right? I mean, fear moves the masses, and what better way to gather many into one agenda other than by using fear? It's kind of like it was either Hitler or one of his understudies that said, "It's next to impossible to move one man, but you can move a crowd a lot easier." You get somebody in a crowd to start running in fear, everybody's going to follow that person. But if you try to make something fearful to a single man, he'll see what you're up to and he won't bother running. But everybody else is watching each other. They're not watching where the fear is coming from and realize it's bogus. And so this is why the term sheeple was invented. And it's a real term. It's in the dictionary. It was invented because, have you ever noticed how they corral sheep or cows or any animals that are used for market? They use horses and whips and dogs and other methods to get the animals to easily move and run direction, wherever they want them to go. And FreeDictionary.com defines sheeple as people who are meekly submissive or easily swayed. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the bulk of society today. And that's the reason for the dumbing down that they were talking about in the 80s. It's now. It's here. And by the way, what many are unaware of is this was not the first time something like this was done, you know, this Orson Welles thing. In 1926, this is why they ran with it. And this is 1926. This is before the Pope got, you know, the mortal wound started getting its little scab to heal over. In 1926, a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Ronald Knox broadcasted a purposely faked live report on the BBC radio network of a riot overtaking London that caused widespread panic. Most people don't know about that. I have the link with all the info on that, as well as Orson Welles' stuff in box number 7 again. And yes, Roman Catholic Jesuit co-adjutor Alex Jones did the exact same thing on January 1st, 2000. You know, the Y2K crisis? He did it on his radio. That's what catapulted him to fame. He was claiming planes were falling out of the sky at midnight because the computers couldn't handle it going from 1999 to 2000. The computers were going to go to 1900. They thought it would never go to 2000. And the nuclear power plants were melting down. Russian missile silos were launching nukes towards America. I mean, he was just lying through his teeth on the radio, and it worked. People got scared, and now they believe he's Well, it's the age of lying. Lying is what the people are going to believe. Truth, they want to hear it. And fear works. And it's an excellent means by which to move the masses into doing whatever the government needs them to do. I mean, looking back now, hindsight is most assuredly 20/20 on this. I mean, it's no coincidence we find a Roman Catholic priest doing such a thing back in 1926 and then now that we see what Rome is doing today with this U.S. UFO and terrorist agenda. I wonder if Orson Welles was Catholic. I never looked it up. Never even thought to. But the fact is, I got evidence from, you know, hundreds of years ago in regards to Rome messing with this UFO thing, and then you got a Catholic priest doing it in 1926 here. Well, testing the waters to see how they can handle masses of people by using fear. He didn't mention any UFOs. But have you noticed lately, though, how popular the UFO movement has become? All around the world, too, by the way. I mean, posters and dolls and balloons of little green men, you know, and their faces are all over the place. Some high-end computer manufacturers use them in their logo, and like gaming computers. It's got an alien right there on the front. It's a good quality, you know, item, you know, with motherboard and all that. I mean, it's really good stuff, but I wouldn't buy it just for that logo. You know, it's just, I'm not going to sit there and look at that demon all day. It literally took decades to get this to spread like this. That's what it looks like. And so, well, that's what actually would happen. And none of it would have been the least bit possible had it not been for the Vatican's efforts hundreds of years ago when they first used this satanic plot. And I could prove it. But before doing that, you know, in regards to the pictures and all that, I'd like to give time. I already announced it. If you're on WTPR and you want to see these pictures come in to the room, if not, that's fine. You can always email me. I'll send them to you. Or I'll send you the notes for this sermon, in fact, and you can just click those pictures. But for now, it's amazing how far spread. I'm trying to put this in words because it shocked me when I saw this. On Google alone, and this was back in 2008 when I did this thing about a newsletter I did years ago about the UFO with the pictures. I had these same pictures in there. It was July 22nd, 2008 when I did a Google search on this. And at that time, I was researching to see how many people were falling for this falderal. There were 69,700,000 websites talking about it. UFOs. I kid you not. All right? That's almost 70 million. It's just 300,000 away. And that was 10 years ago. I mean, that's insane. But you want a real shocker? I checked it out the other day. It went from 70 million to 166 million right now pushing a UFO agenda. Now it could be more, but it was right on the nose, all zeros, 166 million. I don't know where it's at now, but I don't really care. But ever since Orson Welles tested the masses, oh, it's 168 million. Thanks, Alex. Now, yeah, so it went up 8 million in just what? I think I was doing the notes on this on Thursday. So 2 days ago, it was 166 million, now it's 168 million. But again, ever since Orson Welles tested the masses here in the USA, countless authors have written books and have made Hollywood movies all about aliens from outer space wreaking havoc on mankind. I mean, I can't remember a single year in the last few decades or so where in each week the UFO topic has not hit the silver screen or the newspapers or TV news in some way or another. I mean, even rock and roll singers have jumped on this bandwagon pushing this idiocy. Guys like David Bowie, I remember him from the 70s. He literally had an album called Loving the Alien. I think that was the title track on it. And that's he did that just to make sure everyone gets in on this. You know, and of course, he wrote the song as a slam on Jesus Christ. Still, the topic was plain. He's going with the alien thing. And he was preaching God is merely just an alien being and not the creator of the universe. That, by the way, is yet another reason they do this. If it can make people look at the creator God as a myth, and instead of look at the lie of an alien, that seems more believable to them because you can see the aliens, even though for some odd reason everybody on the planet has these high megapixel cameras in their hip pocket. And the first sign of like a UFO or a flying saucer or something, it's like they run in their house to get a cardboard camera to take the picture. It's like the worst pictures ever. You can never really get any ideas to it because it's all fake. It's all bogus. But some of it's real. It's demons. It's actually demons. And it's going to get much worse because every politician's in bed with Rome anyway. So as I mentioned a moment ago, I have evidence that Rome has been hiding this agenda for hundreds of years and now they're bringing it out, even though it was just hanging on their walls, you know, back in I think it was, let's see if I get these pictures. I can't remember what the years are. 1460 on one of them. 1496 on that. So it's hundreds of years ago, centuries ago. But this first one I'm going to try to put into the room, see if I can get it to come in the room here real quick. Those listening on the radio, just send me an email. I'll try to pipe. I'm pretty sure this works because I tested it the other day. There you go. Okay, and if you click on it, it'll bring you out of the room, and it makes a bigger picture of it. So, yeah, you'll get a little bit bigger view if you click on it. And it looks like you've left the room, but don't worry, you didn't leave the room. All right, so that picture, or painting, if you will, is actually depicting a UFO on the top left. It's actually got a yellow highlighter on it. The artist put that in, and he put a yellow beam coming all the way down that's hitting the gut of what's supposedly Mary, the mother of Jesus, in that room. And so that's to say that an alien from outer space put the baby Jesus in her womb. That's what that, and that's hanging on the Vatican wall, right? All right. This next one here. Let me see if I can get this one. Okay, oops. What is going on here? There. All right. This next one here is. Let me just put it. Okay. Now it doesn't want to go in. Paste again. Oh, okay. Good. Now that one there. Again, click on it. It's just a little bit bigger. You see a saucer in the sky, and this is when Jesus Christ is being baptized. And you know when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. You see there's four beams coming out of that UFO up there, claiming that, I guess, two of them are the voice of God. It's just an alien being talking on a loudspeaker. And then even though the Bible says half the people heard thunder and the other half heard the voice, because non-believers can't hear the truth like this. They can't hear the voice of God. They can't. Believers heard the voice. But they leave that part out of the painting, of course, obviously. But it makes it look like Jesus Christ is, you know, being watched by his father, the alien, or whatever. And this last one, but I have a zoom for this one, too. So this one here, I'm going to show two versions of this. Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, two versions of this one here. Get it there. Paste and send. Let's see if this. Oh, this one might be big because it's taking a minute. That's not that much bigger. But if you notice this one here, you see a UFO on the top right, and it's during a tender moment between the infant Jesus and his mother, right? And then there's a little zoom in on that picture of it. But what they don't seem to zoom in is what's going on there on the left. All right? Let me get that now. Because I zoomed in on this. I says, what's that on the left? All right, so let me get back in the room. Put this here. And send it. Let me click that. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's on, is that on the left or on the right? Oh, it's okay, when they zoomed in, it's on the right, I'm sorry. When they zoomed in on the bottom right of that picture, they zoomed in just to show the UFO, but they just show the bottom right portion of the section of that, you know, white rectangle. But I zoomed in on that bottom right corner of the right, of that rectangle. And if you click it, you'll see there's a man shielding his eyes. You know, the artist depiction that I could see, and there's some kind of a weird-looking priest I just noticed now, some pagan-looking guy down there on the bottom right of that, zoom in. And then you can see the starburst of the sun god on the shoulder of so-called Virgin Mary there, because it's not Mary, it's a demon. But if you notice, the man is shielding his eyes from the true Heavenly Father to look at the UFO, which is more or less saying, you know, you know, trust what you see with your eyes, you know, and shield what you know what's coming from on high. And so that's why I figured I'd throw that zoom in. I don't know if I put the zoom in on that newsletter now that I think about it, but yeah, maybe I'll do it later. But what most are unaware here of is that the Roman Catholic Church does in fact have a special office in the Vatican designed to deal with UFOs. I kid you not. Oh, thanks, Brother Michael. I'll check it out in a minute. Well, here, let me see you. See what he's just sent me here. And I'll see if it's something to post in the room here. Oh, wow, that's a much bigger. I don't know if that'll fit in a. I don't think the chat room will allow it to pop in. But this guy, he zooms in on the UFO, and you can see the guy clearly with his dog, because there's a dog there too. But let me see if I can put this. Thanks, Mike. Let me see. It's a much bigger picture. Thank you for that. Let's see. I don't know if it'll go in the room here. Nope. Error loading the picture. So I'll put the link in the room here for those. There's no security. There's no security. That looks like a starburst of the sun god Baal. That's what I... Is that what you... Yeah. Okay. Is that, in other words, a pagan thing. So... All right. Let me just move this PM out of the way here and see... Oh, it's all broken up. You know, that's how our this shoddy software that we bought. But you know, if you copy that, stick it in Notepad, and then put all the pieces back together, you'll see that big picture that Michael. See, I could probably do that. Well, somebody here in the room do that. Put it back, Brother Alex, or somebody that's you know computer savvy. You can do that for me. Would you please? So, thanks again. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the belief, Brother Warren. Yeah. The belief is that Orson Welles was a Protestant, but, you know, Jesuits, they play the parts of all these. Oh, so Brother Joe and Brother Sean put the link in the room. They put it back together where you can click it now. So thanks, guys. All right, so getting back. Why does the Vatican have a special office to deal with such things as UFOs? I mean, come on, it's a church. A church is supposed to be all about spreading the gospel. Having a special office dedicated to UFOs confirms Satan's behind this. Because nothing in this is biblical to say the least. None of it. But yet it's in a church. Well, we also know it's the church of Antichrist. It's Satan's headquarters. It was prophesied to be that way. I mean, the only reason I could see for them having such an office is to keep track of their successes and failures during these escapades so as to better gauge their next step. And notice this article. It's just an excerpt from an article that was released back in 1998. Check this out. The headline is Cardinal Bovone, he's a Vatican saint maker. He died, right? But notice how they got a little bit of a blurb on his bio. This is from Reuters, out of Vatican City, so this is no fake news or anything like that. But it's April 18th of 1998, and it says, Alberto Bovone, I guess that's how you would say it, because he's Italian, I just noticed. An Italian cardinal who headed the Vatican's department that chooses the saints of the Roman Catholic Church died on Saturday after a long illness. He was 75. In his position, check this out, he wielded enormous power over the role models of the church, the role models the church seeks in its saints, guiding the complicated procedure that includes verification of miracles, which in some cases includes UFO and extraterrestrial sightings. Are you kidding me? So as you can see, the man heading up this office is also the same man that researches and selects so-called saints for the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, something many have found to be a very evil office, as the Vatican has often canonized murderers over the centuries, and so it's obvious why he would also be there to do the thing with the UFOs and extraterrestrials, because, I mean, there was a big protest about this 5 or 6 years ago in Mexico when the Catholic Church wanted to canonize some guy, and they did it anyway. The guy literally killed people, and they made him a saint. Big stink about that. I can't remember the guy's name, though, but I did something online about it, of course. But notice how the Vatican article quickly speaks of the verification of miracles and then the UFOs in the same breath. I mean, out of all the churches on planet Earth, Christian and non-Christian alike, I have yet to find a department like this in any of their head offices, bar none. But then again, none of them are prophesied to generate a new world order and global government that's hell-bent on pushing Roman Catholic doctrines as laws, so as to generate a way for the Vatican to become the ruler of the world either. So they're, you know... Oh, thanks, Brother Warren. Brother Warren looked a little bit deeper into Orson Welles. He claimed to be a Protestant, but he was raised a Roman Catholic. So there you go. So he switched just for the sake of hiding his agenda in regards to his War of the Worlds thing, too. So, okay, we're going to go a little over it. That's okay for everybody. I fell behind a little bit here. But looking in reality today, though, we see only one church doing this, and that's the Catholic Church. For some, that's enough, but for everybody, it's sad. That's sad. But anyway, what's even stranger is even the so-called aliens or alien pushers themselves seem to be partial to the Vatican with their very many pagan-inspired solar wheel crop circles popping up all over the place, and that's like on the shoulder of Mary in that one painting. That's a solar wheel or a pagan symbol for Baal, the sun god. I mean, it's all the same thing. But that one doesn't have the wheel around it. It's just the spears in it. You know, the Ionic, the Phallic, go on. So, you know, the straight line and the wiggly one. Straight line's the man, the wiggly one's the girl, because girls have curves. It's all paganism. But in regards to these crop circles, is it college kids doing this or demons masquerading as beings from outer space? I came across some articles a couple, 3 years ago where they did, in fact, catch college kids doing it. But I'm sure some of them are done by demons. Especially the ones that are solar wheels, like the ones we see in the thousands of stained glass windows in all the Roman Catholic cathedrals, as well as some Baptist churches and many other denominations like the Mormons. I mean, truth is, the largest solar wheel on the planet is found on the grounds of St. Peter's Square. Coincidence? I don't think so. I mean, as we all know, the Vatican has never denied and even admitted they have adopted all they preach from the pagans of old. I got their actual quotes on my Words of the Beast page. And this is why we see the crop circles in Vatican solar wheels depicting ancient Egyptian symbolism at the same time. I mean, does this mean the aliens are pagans? No. It simply means they are the same demons Satan used to possess the pharaohs of old to push paganism. I mean, keep in mind, demons are beings that, had they not sinned, would have lived eternal lives like all the angels, or God, or the other two-thirds of heaven angels, and those of us that make it home. But before heaven starts, we humans, we live and die. But demons, they just keep going. For thousands of years, 6,000 years so far. And we praise God that this is all about to stop very soon. And this is also why it's getting so out of hand lately. All the tempting methods that have worked in the past are being used again today in Satan's last hurrah. I remember doing a newsletter about this many, many years ago, even before I was still a Sunday keeper, noticing how the fads in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s were all locked down in a certain way. But in the 80s, you know, in the 80s you had the disco, in the 70s you had the hippie types, like the heavy metal headbangers, actually. In the 60s, you had the, you know, the finger-snapping, you know, peace, love, drugs kind of hippies. 50s, the greasers, right? In the 90s, they all came. All of it. It was just a mix of all of it. And so that's why you see what's happening today. The, you know, the enemy of souls, he knows he's got a little, very little time left. Like it says in Revelation 12:12, he knoweth he haveth but a short time. But anyway, the UFO agenda has another aspect about it that most may be unaware of. Scriptures declare mankind was put on earth 6,000 years ago. The UFOologist, as well as the evolutionist, suggests a far greater time span, as we all know. Billions and billions of years, right? In other words, the UFO preachers declare the aliens piloting the UFOs have technology hundreds of thousands of years older than ours, and this lie then would allow this type of suggestion into the minds of sheeple that don't read Bibles. Number one, God lied in Genesis about creation week. Number two, there's another God out there that has been creating beings far longer than the Christian God. But the proven God of creation declares in John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the in earth, visible and invisible. A lot of people couldn't understand that until microscopes were invented. The Bible contradicts itself. No, now they invented a microscope, and they figured that one out. Going on, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So the UFOologist or the evolutionist declares, God never created anything. We all evolved from primordial ooze that came out from some lava-saturated lake bed that some alien god seeded with our DNA. I mean, the UFO theologist declares those verses to be a lie that I just read. And so this is rock-hard evidence Satan's behind it. Because where the lie is, that's just like a smoking gun, you know. For thousands of years, stories of UFOs have been used to plant seeds of doubt in mankind all over the place, but, you know, didn't come into a real big head until the Vatican started pushing it. You know, the pagans were into it, obviously. But a 6,000-year, I see this as a, like a 6,000-year game of spiritual chess, if you will, between God and Satan, or not actually, God doesn't play games, I see, between Satan and mankind, if you will. I mean, Satan always emulates the truth of God in a deceptive manner because he knows God's way works. So, like God's method of planting seeds of truth into people's lives, that he then waters through their life so as to have a bountiful harvest in the end, Satan also plants seeds, but he uses lies and waters them to watch them grow so he can claim his harvest at the end, too. I mean, it's a long, drawn-out process, but it works. That's why Satan does it the way God does it, but he, of course, instead of truth, he uses lies. And this is why the Vatican, the governments, and Hollywood have been slowly introducing this fear agenda all along. And now, even NASA has lent their hand to the confusion. Check this out. This came out in 2008. A lot of stuff came out. That's when I think I did, when I did the newsletter, as a matter of fact. That's why I did the newsletter. Headline, Moonwalker claims alien contact or alien contact cover-up. And it came out in July 24, 2008, in Daily Telegraph. It says this. I'm just going to read a small excerpt. I think I have the link for the full article in box number 7, of course. But former NASA astronaut and moonwalker, which means he's a liar because they never landed on the moon, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, a veteran of the Apollo 14 mission, has stunningly claimed aliens exist. And so since he ran with the lies in his past, they can use him again in the future because they know he'll fabricate a lie. I mean, he did it for probably $1 million or $2. Who knows how much they paid those astronauts. Anyway, it goes on. It says, and he says, extraterrestrials have visited Earth on several occasions, but the alien contact has been repeatedly covered up by the government for 6 decades. Dr. Mitchell, who's 77, said during a radio interview that sources at the space agency who had contact with aliens described the beings as little people who look strange to us. He said supposedly real-life ETs were similar to the traditional image of a small frame, large eyes, and head. Yes, we have been visited. Reading the papers recently, it's been happening quite a bit. And so, sounds like it's harmless. Sounds like it's acceptable. Sounds like it's an inevitable event, right? But are you thinking what I'm thinking? I mean, besides the obvious fear-pumping agenda, the new X-Files TV show and recent movies, and they even did an X-File movie, too, from what I understand. I mean, it was all over the media years ago. Not only that, NASA can use this testimony from an ex-astronaut to push the Roman agenda. They can make it, in so doing, they can make quite a bit of money at the same time. It's always about the dollar. I mean, that's why that golden carrot's always there. Does this not remind you of how the Vatican, as well as some seemingly non-interested parties, made certain statements in the news weeks before the Passion of the Antichrist movie came out? Yeah, I know they call it the Passion of Christ, but it's actually Antichrist. I mean, it's no coincidence. Hollywood is a Vatican propaganda tool. They have been using this for decades. I mean, the truth came out recently about Universal Studios. We all know that the word Catholic in English is universal. So they've been behind this for who knows how long. Well, we do know since 538. But you ever notice the uncanny similarities to some old Hollywood movies and then the present-day agenda of big government? For example, let's look at the 1951 movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. My wife used to have nightmares about this when she was a teen because of that Gort guy. These aliens, they put forth certain demands to all the souls on Earth. They said this in the movie. And the link is in box number 7, by the way, for all the data on this movie. All war must end. Peace must be enforced globally. World government is an absolute requirement. That was the movie. That was a plot. But there was another plot, a hidden plot. And it's more or less talking about the world, you know, the one new world order that we know of today. But strangely enough, this movie was not only a trailblazer of sorts in pushing the demonic agenda of Rome, it is a direct method of mocking the Lord Jesus Christ because of a hidden plot. I'm going to read this excerpt from another article. I didn't put the source here, but I have the source link in box number 7. So it says this. Religious allegory is woven throughout the film. Allusions to the story of Jesus Christ can be seen as a means of supporting Klaatu's character and his message of peace. He was the guy that come out and he was the mouthpiece for the UFO, right? Gort was the guy that was the robot-looking thing. So Klaatu, upon arriving on Earth, uses a semi-biblical name, argues his points in front of the establishment, you know, the governments, escapes the government after disagreeing with them and prefers to stay with common people, you know, like Jesus, because he came to the temple first, right? Yeah. In the New Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is sometimes called the carpenter's or Joseph's son, and like Jesus, Klaatu adopts the earthly name John Carpenter. Klaatu, lecturing professor Barnhart, played by Jewish actor Sam Jaffe with Einstein's hairdo, on his own blackboard subject, is a parallel to the young Jesus lecturing the rabbis in the temple. Klaatu's death at the hands of the soldiers echoes the death of Jesus. Just as Jesus' crucifixion was carried out by soldiers, so also is Klaatu's killing. Jesus is removed from a sealed tomb by the angel. And Gort removed... Well, see, they... Obviously, they're not Christians. They say Jesus is removed instead of resurrected. But and it says, and Gort removes the body of Klaatu. You know, the robot removes the body of Klaatu from a locked jail cell. Klaatu's friend, Helen, plays the part of Mary, questioning what is happening. Like the resurrection of Jesus, Klaatu is revived from the dead for a short time by the robotic Gort, like Jesus when he was visiting the apostles for 40 days, right? Klaatu gives his climactic speech and then departs Earth in a spaceship. In biblical accounts of Jesus' life, he gave a final address to his disciples before ascending into heaven. And so if Hollywood is so enraptured at attacking Christ in this manner so as to plant such seeds in the minds of millions, would it not be easy to see that Rome, a far greater evil, would find such a method attractive as well? Some may say this is only the author of the article's opinion, but the screenwriter of the movie does in fact admit the following. And now I got the source. This is from Hostile Aliens 2007, Hollywood in Today's News in the 1950s, Science Fiction Films, and September 11th or whatever. And it was published, Algora Publishing, on page 54. It says this. The contemporary rendering of the Christ story was deliberately written into the film by screenwriter Edmund North. It was my private little joke, he said. I never discussed this angle with Blaustein or Wise because I didn't want it expressed. I had originally hoped that the Christ comparison would be subliminal. And that's how they like going for it. It's always a subliminal thing. So I got another 6-7 minutes, if it's okay, if everybody's all right with that. 6 or 7 minutes left to some stuff to share here. But anyway, going on, it says, the screenwriter may have thought it was all his idea and his own private little joke. But as Christians, we know full well it was Satan that granted him this idea to make it subliminal. I mean, just as it was Satan inspiring the Vatican artists of old to place those UFOs in those paintings in the hope that those seeds would grow to a full harvest by this day, with almost 70 million websites talking about it and now 168 million in 2008, 10 years later, in 2018, one can see that, it's working. You know, it's watering the seeds. They've been watering them for eons. Now that it's close to the end, can anyone, if not everyone, guess as to who he will use to push this lie to a climax? Again, I'm not saying they plan a full-scale alien invasion of Earth. I'm not saying that. And I know some people might go out there and say that I'm saying that, but no, that's not what I'm saying. They can, however, use this agenda in the same way the fear-mongering is used in the terrorist agenda in specific areas of the world wherein society will effectively respond to it. I mean, like the invisible terrorist we hear about daily. A UFO alien doesn't have to stand in front of you to scare you if the story is believable enough, right? And they know it. They just keep the story going. They don't have to have a literal invasion. They just have to make millions of people believe it's possible. That's where I'm going with this, okay? Anything that gets them off what's really going to be happening at the second coming. But that may change, though, in regards to how they're pulling this off because of holographic technology. We already have the ability to make such things appear real right before the eyes of people. Al Gore, for example, recently appeared as a moving, talking hologram before hundreds of people as a publicity stunt. I think he did it in 2008 as well. And for those that need evidence, take a look at the following videos that are on YouTube, and the links are in box number 7. I'm just going to read the titles. Three of them. Al Gore speaks before a large crowd in holographic form with 3D graphics accompanying. Kate Moss appears in a ghost-like fashion, floating in midair before a large crowd, which means they did the hologram of her in a pool of water, I guess, and the clothing that she's wearing, you know, like lace, is just floating all over the place. I've seen all these. It's just amazing how people are falling for this stuff. And then number three, here we see a way to follow, to allow for speakers to be at meetings far from, oh, okay, yeah, the other one was about having speakers to be at meetings far away from home. But there are a lot more videos on this, so surf around when you get time. As they perfect this technology, one can only imagine what they'll use it for. I mean, some of us have seen that hologram of Tupac on stage years after his death. And that was one of the best holograms I've ever seen. That looked legit. I mean, the one they did about Michael Jackson, no, he was a little bit too bright. It didn't work well with the rest of the environment that he was supposedly walking in. But the one with Tupac was perfect. I mean, he looked like he was alive standing on stage. And then walking back and forth on stage and singing and doing all that, you know, rapping. He doesn't really sing. And never understood rap. Well, rap is just sermons. That's all I say. Evil sermons. So, but with all that in mind, how hard would it be for them to create a hologram of a dead loved one wherein you're unaware that it's a hologram? I mean, Satan's already been doing this with demons, putting dead grandma at the end of your bed when people don't know about the biblical state of the dead, but they can do the holograms too. Or how about a hologram of someone committing a crime or telling you a lie? Or an apostle of old appearing to preach scripture out of context? I would think the demons are going to be more or less happy to do that first. And, of course, Jesus Christ himself appearing, but that's Satan. He's going to be doing that soon. I mean, they can actually have a group of little green men appear, too, before a crowd of people at a football stadium if they wish to really go nuts with this. Cause a stampede, kill all sorts of people. I mean, the sky's the limit here. But the truth is, the devil has been doing these things for 6,000 years. And not with holograms, but, you know, with demonic manifestations. I mean, what seems to be happening here is they, you know, big government, for some reason feel that they can't rely on or even convince the demons to play along and manifest the little green men for them. They're going to just do it on their own with holographs, you know, holograms or whatever. And that's the only way I can, you know, I'm thinking out loud on this, yeah, but the idiocy we see happening today in big government shouts boldly that they don't actually care how dumb their actions look sometimes. I mean, you ever seen the pictures from the, you know, the July 7th London bombing where you could tell the guys were photoshopped in and they didn't even get rid of the wrong colored pixels all around the guys. Or the one guy's walking in his arms still behind the fence, but he's 20 feet away from the fence. I mean, so they don't care. They're only worried about, you know, certain areas of the planet where the people aren't, you know, getting in line yet. I mean, because prophecy doesn't say aliens are going to invade Earth. It's just not going to happen. And so I'm not saying that they plan to fabricate or even manifest a global invasion of demons masquerading as Martians either. I mean, they may say it and cause a panic without it ever happening like Orson Welles did, because that works well for them. You know, you create a disaster, you have something you can work with. I mean, Hillary Clinton talked about it all the time. Don't ever waste a disaster. I mean, they can repeat a more technical version of the War of the Worlds radio show and some nations not responding as they need them to, right? And so that's of course, if Satan is, you know, not doing it for them, let's say. But Satan already gave them the technology. So he's already involved, whether they know it or not. Did you see the video of the man of a drone? Now, I just saw this the other day. Some man came into Africa in one of these little villages, I guess, and scared the daylights of a bunch of little kids. Some of the kids were running around thinking it was funny, but most of them were scared running away from it. It was a drone. It wasn't just a, you know, remote-controlled drone. They never saw that before. And so if we've learned anything from Orson Welles or the fabricated Y2K crisis of Alex Jones or a few dozen so strategically placed sightings that keep happening, I mean, all that's needed to get a widespread gossip rolling, their agenda forward, they can do this easily with people, because they got millions and millions and millions of people now, 168 million, or was it? Yeah, 168 million, I think, that websites out there pushing it. So this is not going to be a big deal for them to finish up. But in closing, as Christians, we know aliens, green or otherwise, are impossible. Prophecy does, however, say the Vatican will get all the world to worship the Pope, and in so doing, generate a common enemy for all of us, for all in the world, against us, the remnant people. And that's the real truth. They can actually use holograms, long-dead saints, demons in some areas that make people believe we're the enemy. I mean, whatever. They got all these tools at their hand now is what I'm getting at. But as we know, prophesied disasters are about to increase, and we, the remnant of God, will be blamed for it because we refuse to keep the Roman Sabbath holy. Satan knows this, and he knows it's coming because he understands prophecy better than any of us. These global disasters will be used to make us that common enemy that threatens the whole earth, like that Ronald Reagan was talking about. I mean, keeping any and all man-made threats before the people, like UFO sightings, abductions, movies, books, tabloids, fanatical, you know, any fanatics that are out there by word of mouth, or even just cooked-up government cover-ups, and even the favored terrorist agenda, they can grant them easily to grant a global mindset that they need to have in people all around the world, and so that they can gather them all to their, you know, their dying God in Rome. And so be it. You know, let them do what they want. As we know, they will do all they can to convince the people of God to embrace the pagan holy day, to the point of demons manifesting as dead loved ones, apostles of old, or even aliens from outer space. And yes, in some areas, they might even use those holograms. Because it'll be effective. It'll be easier to keep that out there. Because I don't know how limited Satan is. You know, who does? Who cares? But as obedient Christians, we know it has been declared that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Which means they can't deceive the elect. A lot of preachers take that out of context and say, oh, look, it proves they can deceive the elect. Where do they get that? I don't know. But it's not from truth. And so we won't fall for these kind of lies. And this is the only reason I'm sharing this, because this seems to be boiling up. This is one of the reasons for all those movies. There's an agenda behind us. We just have to understand, stay in the Bible, because this kind of stuff is not going to affect us in any way, shape, or form if we stay in the Bible. And so you can't fall for such lies when they go against the thus saith the Lord, because we also know that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. I mean, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Jesus said that in, Matthew 24:24 and Isaiah 54:17 were those two verses that I just read there. So my advice, get as close to Christ as you can, so that even if a demon or an alien were to stand before you in living color, like a dead loved one or some apostle of old, you can easily declare with the courage and determination of Christ, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's what Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 10. And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Thou not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. For the Lord will be with you. For the battle is not yours. Shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the in this battle, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not.
Amen. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence and giving us an understanding as to all the deceptive practices of mankind and the enemy of souls that has control over mankind. Please bless us with more wisdom, discernment, faith, understanding, everything that we're going to need to go forward. Even when it's unpopular to talk about these things, it has to be spoken to let the people know that even here, they are caught lying. So bless us, Father. Bless us all with the words that are needed to plant the seeds in the souls you send our way. And thank you for forgiving us when we fall short. Bless us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned a moment ago in the prayer requests, and all those doing the work. Thank you for the hedge of angels you have about us all. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.